The words chosen for this morning are found in the 12th chapter of Luke, the 48th verse. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the sheep who sends men as shepherds, dear fellow redeemed. The captain of the supertanker Exxon Valdez had a responsibility. He was to take his cargo of crude oil from Alaska down to a refinery in California. He failed with terrible results. The spill caused a major natural disaster. He was supposed to be able to fulfill the responsibility, but he didn't do it. To whom much is given, much will be required. A pilot of a major jet has an awesome responsibility to the passengers in his care. Woe to that pilot that messes up the approach to the Minneapolis airport, especially if you or I happen to be on board. It's not going to be pleasant. To whom much has been committed, much will be asked. In both of these positions, there are great responsibility. Great responsibility with awesome consequences. The same is true in the kingdom of God, in our responsibility as universal priests, and especially in the public ministry of our Lord. We then consider the Lord's warning here and his comfort for us as we begin this school year. The Lord has definite requirements and responsibilities for each and every individual here as a college student, a seminary student, as instructors, professors, and administrators. As collegians on this campus, we're assuming that you are prepared to handle the classes that you are being given or that you have selected. There are a number of responsibilities involved. You'll attend class, you'll get the homework done. There are new responsibilities in college in general. Most important, it's the hope of the Lord that you will use the abilities that he has given you to the very best possible way and not spend the weekends partying to oblivion, losing the brain cells that he's endowed you with. To whom much is given, much will be required. As seminary students, you are being prepared for the important work of telling others, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around you. The gospel of full salvation in Jesus Christ, which alone can save immortal souls. You're offered classes that is to help you prepare for that work. But if you choose not to apply yourselves and do not grow in the knowledge of salvation, you will be more dangerous to the congregation that you're called to than a pilot flying with too much alcohol under his belt. To whom much is given, much is required. Instructors and professors and administrators here, think of what the Lord has placed in our care. Look at this group. All of these souls are placed in our hands. Woe, woe to that professor or instructor by his teaching and his lifestyle causes one of these people to stumble. The Lord has placed them in our care. Shame on me and every other person here, if we're not using the abilities that the Lord has given us for the good of those around us. That's the warning, and it ain't pleasant. It's strong. It shows us our failures, each and every one of us here, continual failures, and our lost condition. But there's also wonderful comfort found in these words. It's found in the beginning of each phrase when it says, we have been given much, and much has been committed to us. Think of what has been offered us in Jesus Christ our Lord. God the Father saw our condition by nature, how we were on the slippery slope of hopelessness, going to a miserable end. This life without Jesus is just an aimless journey, ending in meaningless death. But he sent his own Son from heaven's high throne to take our place. He lived that life that I so often fail to live, to undo this miserable life and your miserable life and return us to the innocence of Adam and Eve at the creation. And then he went to the cross and shed his blood to break open the prison house of sin and death and hell for each and every one of us. If he's done that for you and for me, and he has, and he chose us as his own in the baptismal waters, then we have the certainty that he's going to be with us in the difficulties and problems that we face right now. As we look at the responsibilities of this year, as students, as professors, we know that he will strengthen us and prepare us. He's there for each and every one of us right now, never leaving us nor forsaking us. That's that wonderful gospel message that's there for each and every one of us. That treasure of salvation is what is proclaimed in the public ministry. The message of full salvation in Christ. And realize, too, that that message isn't just pleasant words. This morning, as the word is coming out of a weak, sinful human being, it is not my words, but it is Christ's word. Christ is coming through that word to each of you, giving you the greatest treasure of all. He's placing it there for you in your needs, in the baptismal waters and in the Eucharistic supper. That same treasure is poured over our heads and placed on our tongues and is received by a simple, confident faith in the Savior. So then the purpose of the public ministry is to proclaim the life-giving word and the sacraments, giving forgiveness of sins, strengthening for this life, and hope beyond the grave. Therefore, this morning, I would again like to encourage every young man here to consider the preaching and teaching ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to encourage every young lady here to consider the teaching ministry, feeding the little lambs in our Christian day schools. Through that work, we give what's needed to have meaningful life and eternal life beyond the grave. If full-time service in the Lord's kingdom is not possible for us, then don't think that there's nothing that we can do. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with all around you, which alone can save their immortal souls. Is there a need? Is there a need for the gospel? Look around us. How many people are wandering aimlessly without any purpose, without any hope? Think about the people next to you as you eat your meals, in the classrooms, in the dormitories. Are there people there who are despairing, ready to give it all up? The Lord is asking each one of us here to be there for them with the gospel, with comfort, with help. He's asking for each one of us to share the gospel. He's asking for pastors and teachers. All around us, the souls of men are dying. They're going headlong to destruction. And we have that which can save them. The only thing that means anything, the first sermon we heard here this week, the chaplain talked about the casket and closing the cover. The only thing that gives any hope when the casket cover is closed and it's lowered and you hear ashes to ashes, dust to dust, is what you have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been given much. The greatest thing there is, share it with all around so that more and more come to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Amen. Let us arise. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. O Father in heaven, we thank you for all the blessings of the public ministry instituted by your Son, through which you send your Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. Cause us always to treasure the blessings dispensed in this ministry through the means of grace, so that our faith will be strengthened and be preserved unto our end. How beautiful are the feet that bring good news to Zion. Amen. We continue with the hymn. We remain standing.